Certainly appreciate the prayer and would ask that you continue to pray for me this morning. I'd like to turn your attention this morning to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And before we look at that, I want to say this morning that as we begin 2018 here at Fort Wayne Church, I have a very particular prayer for the church. And that is that we as a church body and we as individuals would continue to look to the Lord as our necessity and our sufficiency. That we would continue to look to Him as our all in all, if you will. And so that's certainly my prayer for 2018 and the days ahead, and I hope that you'll join with me in that prayer. But as we look to Luke chapter 5 this morning, I want to see several main points, particularly three things. And I think those three things will echo the prayer that I have for Fort Wayne. The three things that I'd like to bring to your attention this morning is how our attitudes and our actions should be in deference to Christ, that is, in submission to Him, and how Christ can and always does make a difference in our actions, and how we need to acknowledge Christ as God and for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. So in Luke chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 1 and continue through verse 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we've toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This opening passage here seems kind of interesting to us in the world that we live in. Here it is, 2018 now, and it doesn't seem like there's too many people pressing to hear the word of God. But notice here it says that in verse 1, they pressed upon Him, that is Christ, to hear the word of God. You know, I hope that's what we're about this morning. I hope that there's been some pressing in this place to hear the word of God. Pressing means to have some effort take place. It means to anxiously try to accomplish something. In fact, we read that until John the Baptist, that is, the law and the prophets were. But since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presseth into it. That is, that some work is taking place. And so I hope that here this morning we've all tried to put in some effort. I believe that we have. And we're pressing now to hear the word of God. Of course, here in this place, there was probably a great multitude. They were probably standing shoulder to shoulder, literally pressing upon one another. We're in a very comfortable building and we don't have that this morning. But I think still there should be some effort exercised on our part to hear the word of God proclaimed. And no doubt there has been this morning. Now this passage that we see, many believe that this is a parallel to what we find in Matthew chapter 4, where we find that Christ was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. But I don't think this is a parallel passage. If you think that, that's fine. But I think if you read Matthew 4, you're going to see that while the same persons are mentioned, the activities of those persons are actually quite different. It talks here about the ships being empty, yet in Matthew 4 you'll find that there were actually fishermen in the ships. And so I think there are some differences, and it's probably not a parallel passage. But Christ now is here on the sea of Lake of Gennesaret, and he's teaching to the multitude, and he's then after he's made a makeshift pulpit out of the boat of Simon Peter, he's now finished his teaching. The multitude has left, and now he's going to focus on Simon Peter. He's going to have some one-on-one time with him and his other very close disciples. And he's asking Peter to do something. He's saying, launch your boat out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So the Lord's telling him to do something. And you know, the Lord tells us to do something, doesn't he? The Lord gives us commandments, and if you will, that we should follow in our life. And we have two options that lay before us. We can either obey the commandments of the Lord, or we can refuse the commandments of the Lord. And of course, that choice is up to us. And there are wonderful blessings that come through obedience. And so he's asking Peter now to do something. And Peter here, he's showing some deference to the Lord. He's being in submission to the Lord. And certainly that should be our mentality, that whatever the Lord has told us to do, we ought to be doing everything within our power to come into line with that command of the Lord. We should have an attitude of submission and deference to him. But at first, I want you to notice what Peter starts to say. If you look through this and you read it for the first time, it sounds like Peter's going to probably refuse to obey the Lord. It sounds like he's going to perhaps come up with an excuse or educate the Lord. He's saying, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And Peter begins to say, well, Lord, we've toiled all night. We've tried this and it just isn't going to work. And it sounds like he's going to refuse the Lord. It sounds like he's going to not obey the Lord. It sounds like he's, as I said, going to educate them. Any fisherman would know that you don't go out to the deep during the day. Any fisherman, as Simon Peter is here, he knows that the place to catch fish in this time is at night and in the shallow water. And so now he's had this carpenter come to him, and as a carpenter talking to a fisherman, saying, go out into the deep during the day and let down your nets. And so Peter, if you just read through this for the first time, it sounds like he's going to refuse and perhaps educate the Lord on the struggles that he's had. And he's talking about the toiling that they've had all night. I want you to ask yourself the question, have you ever been in this place where Peter's at? Have you ever been very frustrated? Have you ever been very tired, perhaps? Have you ever stayed up all night? I've stayed up all night a few times, not very many, thank the Lord. But you know, when I was a kid, I used to think, man, it would be really cool to stay up all night. If I could just stay up all night, that would be the greatest thing. And you know, when I finally got the opportunity to do it, about 3 or 4 in the morning, it just didn't feel so great anymore. My stomach was hurting. My eyelids were just so droopy, I couldn't hold them open anymore. There was no way I was going to function through the next day. And you know, I just thought, why in the world would I have stayed up all night? It just wasn't fun to be up all night. But you know, there's a big difference between staying up all night because something fun is going on. There's a party or there's a visitation going on or something like that. There's a difference between that and staying up all night working. There's a difference between staying up all night and toiling. And not just toiling, but working for no profit. There's just absolutely no reason that you should have wasted all your night toiling as Peter did here. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been in that position? Maybe we've been in that position spiritually. Have you ever been there spiritually where you just say, I've toiled and I've toiled, Lord. The Lord's telling you to do something and you just say, I've toiled. Lord, I've tried. You know, sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I feel like maybe while I believe and I feel as though I love the things of the Lord all the time, there are some times when I sit down to read my Bible and I might as well be reading the Marian phone book. I mean, it just seems as though there's no profit in it. There are times when I can be in my bed at night and I can try to offer up prayers to the Lord, but it just feels like I'm toiling. It feels like my prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling of my bedroom, let alone making it to the throne room of God on high. Have you ever felt that way? Sometimes, maybe even in my preaching, now you all wouldn't feel this way, but in my preaching, sometimes I feel like I'm really preaching my heart out. I'm trying, Lord, and it just seems like I'm toiling. Or sometimes I invite people to church or want to tell people about the good things of the Lord, and it just doesn't seem to get any traction with anybody. And I think, Lord, I've just toiled and I've toiled. You know, I think that we can begin to feel that way spiritually, and we want to cry out, even as Peter has, that, Lord, we've toiled all night long. But you know, when you feel that way, I want you to recognize that you shouldn't stop there. When you feel that way, and the Lord's told you to do something, and you know the commandments of the Lord, and you feel, Lord, I've toiled all night, don't stop there. Take it one step further. You know, this would be a very sad account if Peter told the Lord, we've toiled all night, and Christ said, well, okay, take your boat to shore. That's okay. That'd be a very sad account, wouldn't it? But rather, we should take it one step further. Notice the deference that Peter has to the Lord. After he's told him about toiling all night and how it's been for nothing, he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Isn't that something to think about in our own lives and the deference that we should have to the Lord when things just don't seem to be working out? He says, nevertheless, forget all that at thy word, because your word is the supreme rule of my life and the warrant for my behavior. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. I'll let down my net. I'll try one more time. You know, that is the hallmark of a life of faith, isn't it? That is the hallmark of one that is looking to the Lord and living a life of faith. When they can look to everything else that has gone wrong, and though things have gone wrong, still say, I'm going to keep going forward. I'm going to do it because the Lord told me to do it. I think that's the hallmark of faith. And certainly that's something that is at the very center of seeing Christ as our necessity and seeing Him as our sufficiency. To say, nevertheless, no matter the circumstances, nevertheless, at thy word I will. And you know, that's not always going to be an easy thing to do. That's not always going to be an easy thing to say as a disciple of the Lord. There are going to be times in this world full of critics when there just seems as though it would be an easier opportunity to forget and to forsake the word of the Lord. In this world that we're living, those that simply just refute, those that want nothing to do with the word of the Lord, that is, they deny the word of the Lord or they dilute the word of the Lord, we need to be the people that stand at the forefront, saying, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. You know, it's not always going to be easy. Sometimes our reasoning will get in the way. Sometimes our reasoning is going to say, no, absolutely not. You're going to hear what the Lord has told you to do, as Peter did here. And you're going to begin to reason about it and say, no, I just don't think that's going to work. There's just no way. You don't understand, Lord. We've toiled all night and it's been for nothing. And this is the wrong time to be fishing. It's going to be hard when our reasoning begins to get in the way. It's going to be hard when others would confront us about what the Lord's told us to do. When they come to us and they ask difficult questions that we can't answer, are we going to say, well, forget it, you've asked me a hard question and I can't answer it, you must be right? No. You're going to say, I know that this is what the Lord has said. And you're going to go to the Lord and pray, and you're going to say, Lord, give me light and give me understanding that I might be able to look upon the things which you've told me to do and be able to understand it in my mind and perhaps explain it to others. You're not just going to toss it aside, or when you read through the Word of God and you see possible contradictions, you're going to look at that and you're not going to say, well, this contradicts this, and so therefore it must all be wrong. You're going to say, nevertheless, at thy word, they're both right. Lord, help me to understand. Give me the mind to understand your word. Our own experiences will perhaps get in the way. The Lord's told you to do something and you'll say, nope, the last time I did that, it just didn't work out very well. Sometimes our own experiences will get in the way. Or perhaps the love that we have for ourselves will get in the way. We'll not want to deny ourselves for the things of the Lord, or we'll not want to deny others that are around us. Good friends and family that perhaps have given us the ultimatum that either you forsake the Lord and His Word, or I'm going to leave you or depart from you. Sometimes those situations will come up, but we have to have the deference of Peter here and say, nevertheless, at thy word I will. Sometimes faintness of heart will get in the way. Sometimes we just won't have the courage to go forward. Things will just seem to pinch us sore on every side. And it'll just seem like there's no way out, and the thing that we're called to do is too great of a task. But I want you to know something. The Lord's never asked you to do something that you cannot do today. And even though you may look at the situation and say, there's just no way, I'm afraid to go forward. What was that song we sang this morning? God moves in mysterious ways. It says in there, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread. You know, the Lord has never asked us to do anything that we cannot do. So rather than perhaps give all of these reasons, and there are so many reasons, aren't there? As one minister said, there's so many reasons and no excuses. There's so many reasons for not doing what the Lord said, for not following after Him. We need to put those aside and look to Him as our necessity and our sufficiency, and have that deference, even as Peter did here. You know, I can't help but think about this. Ever since I was reading upon this and studying upon this, it's just something that's been echoing in my mind. I just can't get it out of my mind this week, where he says, nevertheless, at thy word. You know, that's something that'll do me good in my life. It's something that'll do me good in my ministry. I believe it's something that'll do Fort Wayne Church well today. You know, you say, we've toiled, Brother Nathan. No doubt we have toiled. No doubt we've had times of toiling. No doubt we've had times where it just doesn't seem like there's any traction that we're gaining. Or perhaps all of our reasoning together says, no, we just need to throw in the towel. Or the reasoning of the world says, give it up. Or our enemies have pinched us sore and they've wished failure upon us. And it feels as though Satan is just standing on the stoop, wanting to bring the building in upon itself. Times when it seems like bitterness and anger and jealousy have taken footholds, and confusion. And it just seems as though we've toiled. We've toiled all night. But I want to tell you, at that time, when you say, Lord, I've toiled, and yet the Lord's asking you to hold the banner of Christ high and to march forward for His cause and kingdom, take it one step further and do what He's asked you to do, and have that mentality that nevertheless, at thy word, I will. See Him as your sufficient Savior and have a deference to Him, and notice that He'll bless you if you keep going forward. Notice the difference that Christ makes here in this account. Peter's efforts were fruitless, weren't they? Peter's efforts accomplished nothing. But yet when the Lord was involved and He had His stamp of approval in the matter, notice the difference. Peter got more fish than he could have gotten by himself. If he had had a very successful night of fishing, he would never have gotten this many fish. And so the Lord certainly makes a difference when it comes to our efforts, and if He's blessing our efforts. And that's what I want here. I want the Lord to bless our efforts here at Fort Wayne Church. Put His stamp of approval and recognize that actually it's only when the Lord is with us that there will be a difference made. It's not that He'll just change our efforts and that our efforts will become more fruitful. It's that our efforts can only be fruitful if the Lord's in the matter. Notice the difference that that made for Peter here in this case. Peter got more than he ever would have gotten by himself. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, why is that? I believe one of the reasons that Peter was blessed so much is because he gave everything to the Lord. He gave him everything. He obeyed the Lord. Not only did he obey the Lord, but he gave the Lord control of the ship. He said, thrust out into the deep. And he gave him control. He went out in the deep. He said, cast down your nets. And as the captain of the ship, he says, okay, cast down the nets of the ship. He gave the Lord everything. And I want us to recognize this morning that the more that we give to the Lord, I believe the more that He will bless us in return. Do you believe that today? I believe the more we give to the Lord, the more He'll bless us in that obedience. You know, you can't outgive the Lord. Some might have that opinion that they're giving too much or something like that. You can't outgive the Lord. You can't outgive the one that has done so much on your behalf, who's purchased your home in heaven for you. You can't outgive the one that owns the world. How are we as mere mortals going to outgive the one that owns this earth, that owns the cattle of a thousand hills? How are we going to do that? It's impossible. You can't outgive the Lord. In fact, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, well, actually I have several favorites, but two favorites I'll mention here at this point, is when Paul talks and he says that the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly according to all the things that we need and ask. I'm telling you, isn't that a wonderful thought this morning that we worship a God that can rain down blessings upon blessings from heaven and do more than we ever thought was possible? Go home and read 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and you'll read about a man there that had given some, and he was very troubled about what he had given. And the man of God came to him and he said, that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. That's a wonderful thought, that we serve such a God, the one that is able and willing to give more than we are able to give to Him. We can't outgive the Lord, but recognize that the more we give to Him, the more He'll bless us with. And I believe that's why Peter was so abundantly blessed here. It's because he gave the Lord all that he had. And notice the attitude that he has in verse 8. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That's somewhat echoed in Luke chapter 7 when we see the Lord go into the house of a centurion. And the centurion tells the Lord, he says, I'm not even worthy that you should be under my roof. We're all unworthy of the presence of the Lord, aren't we? We're all unworthy of the blessings that He's given to us. That's why it's called grace. Because we're undeserving of it. It's unmerited favor. And so we're all undeserving of that. And some have talk to me, and they say, well, Brother Nathan, you know, there's no way that I can be a child of the Lord. I want to make this point this morning. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And then we find where Jesus tells him, fear not. You know, when somebody comes to me and they say, Brother Nathan, there's just no way I could be a child of the Lord, that's usually my response to them, is fear not. Because if you find someone that's worried about that, if you find someone that thinks they're not good enough, they're not worthy of the Lord, if you find somebody that is toiling in their mind about that, the best response that you can give them is fear not. Because if you find that person, I believe you have found a child of the King. I believe you have found one that the Lord has touched. Because we find that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. One that is not touched by the Lord is not going to be concerned about those things. But one that feels their own sinfulness, one that feels that they're unworthy to be around the Lord, I believe just as Simon Peter did here in this place, I believe they're a child of the King. And it's interesting to me that he says, fear not. You know, the Lord's not about fear. The Lord's never been about fear. Satan and this world, they're all about fear. But the Lord's never been about fear. Now, we're to have a reverential fear towards God. But there's not to be this morbid fear towards God. The world will have you think otherwise. The world will scare the children of God. Other denominations in the religious world, they will scare the children of God. And they'll tell them, well, you better come down to the altar right now before it's everlastingly too late. You better accept the Lord into your heart before you leave this building and something tragic happens to you. You better accept Him. I've seen that. I've been in those congregations before. And you know what that is? That's a message of scaring and a message of fear. But the Lord's not about fear, and He's not about scaring. You can go and look at Jonathan Edwards' book, even, perhaps, that talks about sinners in the hand of an angry God. God's not angry. Peace has been made between God and man because of the work of Jesus Christ. We're not somehow dangling in the hand of God, and not only that, but an angry God. God's not mad. He's very well pleased with His people because He looks at us through the finished work of Jesus Christ and sees us as spotlessly perfect, just as His Son was, because the righteousness of Christ was imputed unto us. So God's not mad, but yet so many want to scare the Lord's people. I'm telling you this morning that the message of the Bible is not scary, scary, is it? The message of the Bible is comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Does that sound like a message of fear? No, it doesn't to me. The Lord's never been about fear, and He's never been about scaring. He's always been about comforting His little children here. And so Peter has this attitude of humility and deference to the Lord in saying that he was a sinful man. And of course, the Lord says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, He's not going to catch them eternally. Only the Lord can make children of God, and we recognize that today. But He's going to find those men that the Lord has already touched and made children of God and replace that heart of stone with the heart of flesh. Peter's going to find those men by the grace of God and through the strength that the Lord gives them, and He's going to make disciples out of those men. That's what he means here when he says, thou shalt catch men. And I think that's a lesson, of course, to ministers that we need to be perhaps a little bit more like fishermen. I was thinking about that as I was reading through this. He says that they're going to be fishers of men in another place. I believe that's Matthew 4. Now, there's something about a fisherman. He's patient. He's got great courage when it comes to going out to the seas. But he has also some great determination, doesn't he? Peter here, he had toiled all night long. And when the Lord came on the scene, the ships were empty and they were cleaning the nets. That tells me that Peter was a man of determination. Why was he cleaning the nets? Because if he didn't clean the nets, then the nets would break more easily. Peter was going to get back in that boat sometime, and he was going to go back out to those waters, and he was going to try again. He was cleaning his nets, and he was getting ready to cast off sometime in the future. He was a man of determination. Certainly, that's a lesson to ministers, that we be patient and men of courage and men of determination, that no matter what situation comes ahead, continue to look to the Lord and know that he'll bless us as we strive to follow Him. And of course, we come to verse 11 now. It says, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. You know, I find that very interesting. You say, well, Brother Nathan, why do you find that interesting or surprising? It says they forsook all. I think that includes the fish that they had just caught. You know, they had toiled all night for something that was so important to them. They had toiled and toiled. And when they finally got that thing that was so important to them, after they had seen the greatness of the Lord and the sufficiency of the Lord, it wasn't so important anymore. They got back to shore. They left their boats there. They left their nets there. They left that multitude of fish lay right there, I believe. They forsook all and followed after Him. Following the Lord means that you are doing what he says. Even as Peter did here when he said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." Following means that you're having that spirit of deference and doing what the Lord has commanded you to do. It means that you are acknowledging Him as God. And it means that you're putting Him first in your life. Even here when it says that they forsook all. You know, I don't know what their reasoning was. I believe their reasoning perhaps could have been one of many things. Perhaps they were looking to Christ and acknowledging Him as their everything. Or perhaps they were noticing the difference that things made when He was in the matter. Or perhaps they were noticing how He had blessed them at this time and they trusted that He would bless them along the life's way. Maybe they said, "There's no reason for us to go after fish anymore. Let's follow after the one that has the power to call the fish." Maybe that was their reasoning. Or maybe the picture was becoming more and more clear that perhaps this was the Son of God. They had seen miracles of the Lord before. This was very early on in Christ's ministry. And this was very early on in their following after Him. But I believe perhaps the picture was becoming even more and more clear. And they saying, "There's something here. This must be the Son of God." I don't know what their reasoning perhaps would be, but what a choice they made. What a choice in looking to this man as their sufficiency and saying, "All those things that we've worked so hard for, forget them. Let's follow after Him." I want us to see them, or see Him as they did. That's what I want. I want us here now, it is 2,000 years later, to see Christ as these men saw Him on the shore of this lake. When even though they had toiled and toiled, yet they saw Him as their sufficiency. He was there all in all, even when things would say otherwise. Even when, as I said, they toiled and they toiled, they looked to Him. And they said, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will." They looked to Him as their everything, their sufficiency. All those things that were so important, when they got back to shore, forget it. Let's follow Him. That's what I want us to be about. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Let's stand and sing a hymn this morning.